Brothers and sisters, welcome to Dayspring on this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, May the 3rd, 2020. We welcome you into this time of prayer and worship. I am glad to welcome you, and I'm glad to welcome Maddie Harner and Tiffany Harris, who will be reading scripture for us today. Glad to welcome Jonathan Pinto and Bert Burleson, who are leading our singing and music today. We're all glad to be with you. And so our hearts are with you. Our prayers are with you. Know that our spirits are with you. Wherever you are today, together we lift up the name of the Lord. Welcome to worship. Join us now in the call to worship. Holy God, come to us now, we pray. Come and convict us of our sin. Convince us of your grace and calm our worry in your presence. Come with power, for we are faced with things beyond us. Come with glory, that it might shine forth in us. We lift our hearts to you. We lift them up to the Lord. Amen.
Hear the gospel reading. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
As Eric leads us in prayer, we'll join in singing as a part of that prayer. I'm going to teach you a new worship chorus here. I invite you to join in as you get a sense of the melody. God's mercy, God's mercy, God's mercy round us all. Sing that with me. God's mercy, God's mercy, God's mercy round us
God, we thank you and call on your name. We glory in you, our God, our strength. You have told us to seek your presence continually as sheep for our good shepherd, and we do that now. You have told us to remember the wondrous works you have done, and we do that now. You are our God, and there is none like you. You never promise what you will not keep. You never fail, regardless of how small and insignificant we might appear. You have a people, purchased by the cross and sealed by the resurrection, and you will bring them all into glory by your mercy.
Healing mercy. Healing mercy.
We confess that we have sinned and failed and doubted this week. We have not been who we are in Christ. We have loved the world and ignored your word. We have forgotten you by thinking so much of ourselves. Please forgive us. We are sure you will. We are yours, and all our hope is in you. We need your healing touch.
Endless mercy. Endless mercy. Endless mercy round us all.
Now, Lord, we desire the good news of your salvation to extend into every home, into every heart, into every life. You are with us this day. Be especially in homes where there is grief and loneliness. Be especially near to hearts that are broken. Be especially in lives that feel torn, lost, alone, confused, angry. In our weakness, give your strength. And bless those who are in harm's way each day. We pray for doctors and nurses, for grocery workers and sanitation workers. As businesses all around us open up, we pray for waiters and waitresses, for salesmen and saleswomen, for mail carriers, and for all of those leaders entrusted to decide how we may live and move in this time of uncertainty and danger. We trust you for our care.
Trust God's mercy. Trust God's mercy. Trust God's mercy round us all.
Bless Day Spring Baptist Church. Lend your ear to the prayers lifted to you from the hearts of faith all over this city and beyond today. Give your grace to all of us who need you and need one another and yet must wait with patience until the day comes when we can be together again. Bless the offerings you call forth from us, mercy for our neighbors in need, support for the ministry of your church, all we place in your hands for your service, for your children here and around the world. Give us the grace in these days to experience your Spirit fresh in our lives. Increase our faith and our hunger for you. Amen.
Rest in mercy. Rest in mercy. Rest in mercy round us all. Amen.
A reading from Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Open my eyes that I may see. Glamour.
glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands thy wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
It's been about 6 weeks since in-person gatherings were suddenly shut down. At that time, we were about halfway through a season of Lent in which we were celebrating communion each Sunday. Communion is a reminder of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and a sign of his broken body and shed blood. And so Lent seemed like the right liturgical season to explore the spiritual significance of receiving communion more regularly, even every week. We were looking forward to how weekly reception of the body and blood of Christ would shape our Monday-Thursday communion service, and how the whole experience might shape how we understand the relationship between communion and worship, not just in Lent, but all times of the year. I was feeling more and more certain that communion would become a meaningful part of our regular worship gatherings. The breaking of bread, as it's called, is obviously right at the heart of the gospel story. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "This is my body," he said. In the same way, he took the chalice of wine and said to his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood." For two millennia, Christians have been breaking bread and sharing wine and repeating those same words as they do. This is Christ's body. This is Christ's blood. And for just as long, just about, Christians have been debating what it means to say what they say when they break the bread and say, "This is Christ's body." Communion continues to be understood and practiced in many different ways. It's called communion and Eucharist and the Lord's Supper. For some people, the table is where Jesus is met and the earthly elements of bread and wine now transformed into his flesh and blood. Others see the table as a memorial in which believers recall the saving action of Jesus and give thanks for it. For others, eating Jesus' broken body is the occasion to imitate Christ by participating in his suffering for the world. For still others, it is the place where Christ's offering of himself invites a transformation of eaters so that their lives can become an offering to others too. It is the site where people, having consumed Jesus as their food and drink, are recreated by Christ and so taste a slice of heaven. Clearly, in the very simple act of breaking bread, the most human of acts, according to Henry Nouwen, Christians have discovered the deepest and widest spiritual significance. And we were too. We were discovering deep and wide spiritual significance. And that's not to say that every time we receive communion, we have an ecstatic experience. But sometimes we do. Whether we do or we do not, it's another way of remembering we are not in control. We come with nothing more than faith and open hands to a mystery. That is, when we can come. But now that's been taken away from us, at least for a while. I'm not sure we could have picked a worse time to begin having communion every week, when now not only are we not supposed to be within a few feet of one another, but how exactly is communion shared in pandemic? How is communion shared when there's no gathered community? It's a puzzle. It's more than a puzzle. It's a grief. This week's reading from Acts 2 reminds us of the full-hearted communal life shared by the early Christians. The early church is the mold, the model, the plumb line. In the early, spontaneous days of the church's life, warmed by the embers of Pentecost's holy fire, those first Christians were a true community. They were together. They lived sacrificially and generously, and God blessed them and magnified their witness. Even if the description in Acts may be idealized, it is inspirational. This is what true church can look like. Over the centuries since then, Christians have returned to this model of the early church time and time again, seeking inspiration for renewal. When the church gets too institutionalized, look to the communal focus of the early church devoted to fellowship, koinonia. When the church gets loose from its theological anchors, look to the teachings of the apostles with the early church. When the church gets too self-interested, look to the generosity of the early church who shared all things in common and sold what they had to give to all who had need. When the church gets too worldly, look to the praise of God constantly on the lips of the early church. And when the church gets discouraged, see how God added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The early church didn't have buildings, budgets, programs, or even yet have a developed Eucharistic theology. And yet, day by day, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Of all the manifestly significant things they did, one of the most profound was also the simplest. What makes the mystery so powerful is just how ordinary it is. Let's not forget that the supper was a meal. Jesus is raised from the dead. Redemption has come. God is here. Let's eat. And so they ate with joy and generosity. They seem to have grasped intuitively that in Christ, life in all its totality was returned to man, given again as sacrament and communion made Eucharist. We find ourselves in a season when we know that we ought not practice the ritual of Eucharist for good reasons. That is indeed a grief. It is also a teacher, reminding us that the supper of our Lord was and still is a meal, and perhaps can be any meal, every meal. About 50 years ago, in his book, For the Life of the World, Alexander Schmemann expressed the heart of Christian faith for young believers. He wrote, "Man is a hungry being, but he is hungry for God. Behind all the hunger of our life is God. All desire is finally a desire for God." To be sure, humans are not the only hungry beings. All that exists lives by eating. The whole creation depends on food. But the unique position of humans in the universe is that they alone are to bless God for the food and life received from Him. Humans alone are to respond to God's blessing with their blessing. They stand in the center of the world and unify it in the act of blessing God, of both receiving the world from God and offering it to God, and by filling the world with this Eucharist, human life, the one that receives from the world, is transformed into life in God and into communion with Him. The world was created as the matter, the material of one all-embracing Eucharist. And man was created as the priest of this cosmic sacrament. And so, my brothers and sisters, wherever you are today, my brothers and sisters, fellow priests of the Incarnation, wherever eating is something more than strictly fueling up the body, wherever food is treated with reverence and the lives and deaths of the creatures that make food possible are treated with respect, wherever those who prepare and serve the food are honored for their craft and labor, wherever food is received with gladness, for all food is a gift, wherever food is shared, for no one ought to go to bed hungry, wherever people bow their heads to pray thanksgiving for daily bread, then let us say, this too is the table of the Lord. The body of Christ is broken for you. Take and eat. Let us pray together. O God, speak your words of peace into all those places of chaos and need. Peace, be still. God, speak your words of peace into places of pain and sickness. Peace, be still. Speak your words of peace into lonely and discouraged hearts. Peace, be still. Speak your words of peace into broken lives and relationships. Peace, be still. Speak your words of peace into our own anxious and distracted hearts. Peace, be still. May the peace of Christ be with you. Amen.